read to you from Matthew chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Every Christmas, we focus on the story of Christ's coming, and rightly so. But often we miss one of the heroes of the story because he's rarely at the forefront of the Christmas story. And of course, I'm talking about Joseph. In the nativity play, he usually stands silently next to the manger, looking down at this baby. And he seems to play a very minor role in the Christmas story, but might I suggest his role is bigger than we realize. In Scripture, he's not even given a single line to speak. And then he disappears completely from history after the teenage years of Jesus, and we hear no more. And yet this man made it possible for the child to be born in Bethlehem, as was prophesied. He made it possible for this child to survive the dangerous early years of his life. A man that God entrusted with the task of protecting Mary and her child from the moment she conceived. Now, I don't want to take anything away from Mary. She was a courageous, caring, obedient to God woman. She faced all kinds of possible rejection to fulfill the will of God. She said, "Let it be." But Joseph is often overlooked. A man who quietly did what was right, who quietly did what his God had asked of him. And in some respects, I think his role might be all the more difficult, even though women will tell you childbirth's very difficult. And it's true. I've watched it 3 times. But God selected this man to raise the Messiah, to raise this Son of God, conceived by the Spirit of God. And even though we know very little about him, we see a man of great courage. He lived a morally upright life in an increasingly immoral world. He married a pregnant girl who was not carrying his child. He took her on a difficult journey to Bethlehem. He protected his wife and son on dangerous roads in dangerous times, later to Egypt and then back to Nazareth. I mean, this wasn't a car trip with the family. This was over difficult terrain, walking, sometimes with a donkey. And then to raise this child as his own, even teaching him his own trade as a carpenter. And I believe that this short story of Joseph encourages all of us to live courageously, even if it means dangerously, for God. To do what's right, even if we are not lauded for it, nor recognized for it. Joseph was not some kind of super being. He was an ordinary flesh and blood man. And that just proves to me that God uses ordinary people to do his work. People like you and me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 31, it says, Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It's because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, our holiness, and our redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. I believe that the reason that Joseph had such courage was not because he was braver than you nor I, but because of his relationship with God. Joseph was the kind of man that God could trust. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, it says, because Joseph was a righteous man and did not want to expose Mary to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. He was a righteous man. He wasn't perfect, because none of us are, but he had such a strong relationship with God that he knew what was right and set out to do it. This is the key to righteousness. One of the most courageous things we can do is to stand up, deny our own desires and our own sin nature, and to resist what is convenient or popular. And that's what Joseph did. He seems to have disciplined himself to live the way God wanted him to. Not out of duty, but because he desired to do the will of God. I mean, he even lived among people who seemed religious, but many of them weren't. Some of the Jewish leaders of the day were much more interested in politics and power and possessions than living for God. For example, they killed the prophets, and of course they later killed Jesus and rejected him. I've noticed how good people make others feel uncomfortable, and that's because it challenges us. God makes us aware of our shortcomings. Even today, moral purity is sneered at. There's a movie called The 40-Year-Old Virgin. It's an old movie. I haven't watched it because it's not my kind of thing. Not because it's a 40-year-old virgin, it's just not my kind of thing. But this movie made fun of the idea that a man could still be sexually pure or a virgin at age 40. This is the society you and I live in. Joseph was a man who knew the right way to live no matter what was happening around him. A man of moral courage. He was also a man of godly love. He courageously restrains his anger and his disappointment at Mary and chose to treat her with love and with grace. I can only imagine how he felt when Mary told him. Really, the only plausible explanation for her to be pregnant, the only plausible one that would have come into his head, was that she'd been unfaithful. She was an adulteress, betrothed to him, but an adulteress. He must have agonized over what to do. And we gloss over this story like it's this small part of Scripture, not seeing the difficulty behind not only the life of Mary, but the life of Joseph. I mean, any man under such circumstances would react with shock. I mean, he thought she was pure, she was chaste. Any man would respond with deep sorrow. I mean, all of the plans that he had to marry this girl and build a life together, maybe have children later, raise a family, they were shattered. Any man would respond with anger. He felt betrayed. And his manly pride would have made him want to make someone suffer for this, to pay for it. And no one would have blamed him if he caused a scene in the village. Think of it. As Mary's pregnancy became obvious, Joseph would also be under scrutiny. In fact, the society he lived in would have expected him to publicly shame her for what she had done, or so he thought. The pressure of society would have been immense. Imagine his own immediate family. Did you get her pregnant? No. Well, whose is it then? He himself would have to ponder all of these things and decide what he would do about that. But his godly character enabled him to rein in that anger for a moment. He would understand the principle of in your anger do not sin. And his love for God and his love for Mary, even under such circumstances, compelled him to seek a way to protect her. It says that he wanted to divorce her, to separate from her quietly, to not make a fuss for her sake. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. And to save face, Joseph would have been justified in publicly calling off their engagement. But because of his strength of character, he decided to do this privately and protect her from further disgrace. In the midst of all of this, his confusion, his decision that he's going to call this thing quits, not go ahead with it, God intervenes. An angel explains to him, Mary is pregnant because of a miracle. And we go, yeah, great. Think about it. Suddenly, Joseph is faced with another thing he's got to, if you like, consider. Was it really a miracle? I wonder if God didn't tell Joseph sooner because he was testing him to see how he would respond. God knew Joseph, but Joseph could easily have responded the wrong way. But even being told that this baby wasn't some other man's, it was born of the Holy Spirit, it was a miracle, still takes faith. It wasn't easy for him. I mean, this is unprecedented. It's never happened before. I wonder how Mary felt as she tried to explain that to Joseph. When the angel told Joseph, he would have remembered the prophecies. Aha, yes, the Messiah will come through a virgin birth. He would remember the role of God and the Spirit in creation, how God can create out of nothing, and how the Holy Spirit is there doing the bidding of God's will. And I want to say this, the word of an angel is always reinforced by the word of God. And I'm sure Joseph thought all these things through as this angel told him that this child was born, was conceived of the Holy Spirit. But even though it was possibly plausible to him, it was still not easy. He would have to face the disbelief of friends and family now. How is he going to tell them? Well, it's not really mine. It's born of the Holy Spirit. I mean, wow. How many people are going to believe that? And even after the scriptures and the word of an angel to direct him, Joseph still had to make a courageous decision to take for his wife a woman that was bearing a child that was not his own. We live in an age where people don't even want to look after their own kids properly. And here he was being asked to look after someone else's. And I believe that in so doing, he would have faced the shame and disbelief that Mary was about to face when it became obvious. And he'd also be agreeing to provide for this child and function in a fatherly role, because that's what God wanted him to do. I find it interesting, the first thing Joseph does is he does what the angel commands him. He obeyed God and took Mary home to be his wife. His faith in God enabled him to overcome any stigma or criticism that was going to come, because he knew he was doing the will of God. Something empowering about that. And there's an interesting footnote that we sometimes gloss over there in Scripture that shows the integrity of this man. It says in verse 24 and 25, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son and he gave him the name Jesus. Although he had the legitimate right as her husband to have sexual relations with her, he did not consummate the marriage until after Jesus was born. This not only confirms the virgin conception, it confirms the prophecy that it would be a virgin birth. And then later, Joseph's courage was tested again when Jesus is 2 years old. when the Magi came to King Herod, were looking for the king. He was enraged. And he wanted all children under the age of 2 to be killed, all boys to be killed. And it says here in Matthew chapter 2, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. He'd had to flee to Egypt with his family to save this child that was not his own, because Herod was out to kill him. And after fleeing to Egypt, Herod died, and an angel appears again to Joseph and says, "Get up, take the child and his mother, go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." Joseph had no idea that his life, his plans, everything that he had dreamed of was about to be thrown into upheaval. Might I suggest, often the need for courage shows up when we least expect it, but when God most wants it. So how do we cultivate godly courage? By learning that God is wiser and more powerful than any threat or criticism or circumstance that will come our way. Joseph understood that. He'd cultivated his relationship with God in easier times so that he could cope in the more difficult. If you're going through a semi-easy time right now, cultivate your relationship with God for those times that are not so good. So next time you look at a nativity scene and you see Joseph quietly standing in the background, think of the courage that this man displayed. Think of his integrity. Children need courageous, godly fathers. Those who are brave enough and wise enough to protect them and steer them through a hostile and difficult world. Wives need courageous, godly husbands. I think one of the greatest outworkings of a husband's love is when he protects her regardless of the cost to himself, like Joseph did. Wives need a man to care for them, to nurture them, to protect them. This is not machismo, it's not misogyny, it's not implying men are better than women. It's an act of grace and love, and it's God's way. The world needs morally strong men who have cultivated such a deep relationship with God that they not only can begin to display his character, but then can steer their family through life. God is still at work creating obedient, courageous men like Joseph. And God is still at work creating obedient, courageous women like Mary. And his requirements are the same, even if all of our roles are different. We just need to respond. Father God, we thank you this morning for the example of Joseph. We thank you, Lord, for his strength of character. We thank you, Lord, for his bravery. We thank you, Lord, that he was a righteous man, meaning that he knew his God and knew that to follow his God, he would sometimes need to do things that he didn't want to do, but his God wanted him to do. Lord, let that be us this year, this coming year. Let 2019 be a year of standing up, not only for Jesus, but for our families. To do the hard thing, to do what is not popular, to do, Lord God, what is not normal in our society. And we thank you, Jesus, for everything that you have done for us, that you continue to do for us, and that you promise you will do for us in the future. We glorify your holy name at this Christmas season, and we bless you, our God. Amen.